chapter 3. It had to do with a discussion among John and his disciples. As the Bible says, he was baptizing in Enon. And there came a question from his disciples concerning purifying. And of course, John took that opportunity to explain to him what his role was in the preparation for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and what his attitude was even in that role. John said something especially interesting as he entertained that discussion. He said in verse number 30 of those passages, he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." I wonder, why did John say that? Perhaps his disciples would think that since you are the one who are preparing the way for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his mission, that you really ought to be the one. John said, "He must increase." And I must decrease. What was John saying? Don't put the spotlight on me. How many of us, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of us from time to time may have had that type of attitude that I'm the one? I'm the one on my job. I'm the one in my class. I'm the one even in the church. Let's have the attitude that John had. John said again, don't put the spotlight on me. He must increase. I must decrease. You see, the work of the Lord has been hindered, no doubt, in many places by those whose focus is in the wrong place, on themselves. Whatever it is that's important to me, or perhaps whatever makes me happy. And there's an old saying, Brother Williams, that whatever floats my boat. As long as all attention is given to me, or when things go my way, and if they don't, I'm not satisfied. And since I'm not satisfied, I will do anything, everything to make sure that the mission is not successful. It's sad that some people think that way. We must remember, however, that we are all workers together with the Lord, or at least we should be. So let us then this morning, as we talk about this subject of keep the spotlight off of me, let us consider some biblical characters, and we're going to start with John, who had the right attitude about the work of God. It was never about them, but it was always doing the will of God. John, who is called in the scriptures John the Baptist. Not that he was of the Baptist faith, but he was called John the Baptist because He was baptizing people. That was his work, if you will, in preparing the people for the coming of Jesus. He was the forerunner of Jesus, preparing the way for Jesus. And as I've already said, to some degree, as the disciples perhaps may have thought, and it could have been in John's attitude, but it wasn't. But it could have been so easy for him to say, since I am going through all of this, since I'm out in the wilderness eating wild locusts and honey, and I'm dressed, if you will, not in a real beautiful way, and I'm out here baptizing all of these people, then I ought to be the one that's really increasing, because whatever he'll do after he come, it'll be because of me anyway. But he didn't have that attitude. Even his mother could have got into the picture, and she could have said, well, you know, for a long time I was barren, and I had you in my old age. God bless me to have you in my old age. And I was even the one that went to visit my cousin Mary. And when I came into her presence, you leaped in my womb, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. She could have said to her son, I had all of those wonderful experiences, so surely you're going to get something out of this, so that people will really look at you as really being the one that is really special. But John would say in so many words, I'm just a friend. I'm just happy playing my role. I'm happy staying in my lane. I don't want to cross out of my lane and get into his lane. That's his lane, and I'm going to stay in mine. John had a wonderful attitude. Again, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And he even said this in John chapter 1 and verse number 27. He said, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latches are shoestrings I'm not even worthy to unloose. In other words, John would say that I am less than a servant's role. Servants had that role of tying shoes and unloosing shoes. John says, I'm not even worthy to do that. Isn't that some humility? Isn't that really the attitude that God wants all of his people to have? Because until we can stoop to that level, we'll never be able to do God's bidding as he would have for us to do. Because we'll always be thinking about, I'm worth this, I'm worth that. If it were not for Jesus' going to the cross, we wouldn't be worth anything. And we still are not worth anything within ourselves. It's only because Jesus, the one whom John prepared the way for, went to the cross, shed his blood there, went into the heart of the earth, and got up. It's only because he did that that we can even be counted worthy. And thank God just to be counted worthy. So John says, I'm not even worth stooping down and unloosing his shoes. Again, he could have said, all that he ever will be, all that he ever will become, is all because of me. How do you behave when the spotlight is not on you? How do I behave when the spotlight is not on me? Do I get huffy? Do you get huffy and say when nobody is recognizing me? Well, if God is recognizing us, that's all we need. Don't worry about the spotlight. Matter of fact, the little spotlight that we could shine anyway will never be compared to the glorious illumination that God can shine upon us. I'd rather have God's spotlight any day than to have anyone else. So John then didn't take the attitude that I'm the one. John says, no, I'm not the one. Again, he must increase, but I must decrease. Then there's another biblical character by the name of the Apostle Paul. We're all so familiar with him, I'm sure. Paul did so much work for the cause of Christ. And as you know, in the Bible, he wrote more New Testament books than any other inspired writer. He suffered, perhaps, if not more, but surely as much as any of the other apostles did. The Apostle Paul could have said, I'm the one, but he didn't. He had even a great background. Perhaps his background was greater in man's eyesight than perhaps any of the other apostles. But Paul looked at his background and he says, again, I counted all of that as loss, as dung, because there's something greater in Christ Jesus. Listen to what he says even about himself. He had, talking about this great resume that he had, listen to what he said about himself in Acts chapter 22 and verse number 3. He says, I am verily a man which am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. Gamaliel was that great Jewish teacher. And if we could equate anything to Gamaliel in today's terminology, it would be that Paul would say that I attended Harvard, I attended Oxford, I attended any of these great, great institutions that are known so much for their educational prowess. I had a PhD, or I have a PhD in theology, and even if you could call it Jewology. I was taught, he says, according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and I was zealous toward God. And then he even says something else concerning himself in Philippians chapter 3. In verse number 4, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Really, he says, if I really wanted the spotlight to come on me, then I could really put it on me. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But then he says, all of this I counted loss for Christ. Listen to him again in that same chapter in verse number 7. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. You hear that? Not having my own righteousness. Paul could have said, look at me. Look at what I have behind my name. But he says, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul had a good attitude. Paul didn't want the spotlight on him. He wanted us to see Christ, and he was who he was at this time because of Christ. Because he would say later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse number 9 and 10, he would say over there that because of the grace of God, I am that I am. Look at what he says. For I am the least of the apostles. After all, again, that he had behind his name, he still said, I'm the least of the apostles. And am not meet, not fit, is basically what he's saying. Isn't that what John is saying? John didn't do that what John said. I'm not fit. I'm not fitting to untie his shoe strings. He says, I'm not meet. I'm not fit to be called an apostle. Because I did what? I persecuted the church of God. But then he went on and said this. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Are you thankful for God's grace this morning? We ought to be so thankful for the grace of God. Again, because I've already said, if it were not for the grace of God, we wouldn't have any worth about us. And we still don't have any worth about us, as I've said, because of us, is only because of him. The spotlight needs to always be on him. And that's what Paul was doing. Paul was putting the spotlight on Christ. Because he knew, again, if it had not been for the grace of God, he would never be an apostle. He would have never been a child of God. And he would have never had the opportunity of being saved from his sins. So he shined the spotlight where it ought to be on Christ, on God, and not on himself. No wonder he could say in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, he says, for I am crucified with Christ. Yet I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul says again, the life that I'm living is not because of me, but it's because of Christ. Paul had the spotlight where he knew it should be. So whatever we are, whatever we will ever be, it'll only be because of the grace of God. So we shouldn't get so puffed up, if you will, in thinking that I'm all of this and I'm all of that because of who I am. But we need to always think about Christ Jesus. Even when we are doing the work of the Lord, again, as I've said, sometimes we can get beside ourselves and talk about how much we've done, how much we're going to do. And we rejoice in all of that. But we have the focus at the wrong place. We have it on us and not on Christ. That was some folks that Jesus sent out in the Bible, in the book of Luke. Jesus sent some people out to do his bidding in Luke chapter 10. And he gave them power to do some wonderful things. And they went out there and they did some wonderful things. And they came back and they were just so happy that they had done those things. But, and somebody said they should have been happy. Well, perhaps they should have been if they had channeled their happiness in the right direction or for the real reason. But listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But then he said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So he says, again, don't put the spotlight on you because you were doing all these great things, even though I gave you the power to do them. It is evident that they were rejoicing so much because these spirits were subject to them that they thought evidently it was something that they had done. They could only do it because the Lord gave them the power. So he says, don't you be rejoicing over that, but you rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I'm saying to us today, church, let's make sure that we keep the spotlight off of us and always keep it on Christ. And then lastly today, Christ, who is our greatest example. He's our greatest example. When he was here on earth, he always recognized the fact that he did nothing of himself, but he did it because of his Father. We need to always remember again that it's not about us, but it's all about him. It's all about our Lord. Christ was such an humble person as he carried out his mission. First of all, he was humble enough when it was time to come to this earth to give up his home in heaven. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 9 teaches us about that. Not only that, the Bible even says that he was rich, but yet, for our sake, he became poor. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. And even as he prayed in the garden, he had a desire for a particular thing himself. And he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then you know what else he said? He says, nevertheless, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. What was he willing to do? He was willing to take the spotlight off of him. He was willing not to have his own way, but to let the Lord have his way with him. It was only because he had the right attitude. And he did it all so that you and I could be saved. That's why he was willing to go all the way to the cross and to bear the pain and the agony of the cross. And so the Hebrew writer would say to those Hebrew Christians in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, who were fledging in their faith, who were ready to give up on Christ, he wanted them to understand that if they gave up on Christ, as Peter would say in John chapter 6, where are you going to go? You don't have anywhere else to go if you give up on Christ. Because look at what Christ has done for you. He says, who for the joy that was set before him, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. He said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is gone and sat down on the right hand of God. Thank God that he endured the cross, that he finished the work, that he did what God sent him here to do. All because he kept the spotlight off of him. Yes, as a man, he didn't want to die. He wanted some other way. But he recognized that if he was going to effect the salvation of man's soul, that he had to say, nevertheless, not as I wilt, but thine be done. I'm glad this morning that he was a man who kept the spotlight off of him while here in this earth. These great men then that I've talked about, John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, and Jesus Christ, these great men stood tall in the eyes of God. And it was all because they didn't focus on themselves, but rather they focused on the mission that was set before him. And so John would say again, he must increase, I must decrease. Paul would say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And all of these attributes that I could give to myself, I counted them all loss that I could gain Christ. Jesus would say again, nevertheless, not as I will, but thine be done. And when we have the same attitude that our Lord had and that Paul had and that John had, when we have that same attitude in doing the will of the Master, souls will be saved. Those that are in need, the poor, will be helped. Those who need our forgiveness will receive it. The lonely and the weak will be encouraged along the way. And the church will continue to grow. And what a great beacon of light we will shine forth to the world, all because we realize that it's not about us. As a matter of fact, it's never been about us, but it's all about the Lord. So my brothers and my sisters, my friends and my neighbors, may we forever maintain this attitude that God may be glorified through our lives and others may be edified. And so when the disciples, that is John's disciples, when they were talking to him about this purifying, John went on to not only talk to them about purifying, but to talk to them about his role. He was doing so many things, preparing the way. But John would say, no, I'm not the bridegroom. I'm just a friend. I'm just the best man. I'm just enjoying what I was called to do. You look to him. Don't look to me. I'm just prepared. I'm just getting you prepared so that when he comes, you can look to him. I'm saying to us again, make sure that we keep the spotlight off of us. We may have this. We may have that. We may do this. We may do that. We may live here. We may live yonder. We may drive this. We may drive that. But always remember that if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have anything.
Amen.
Keep the spotlight off of us, because it's all about God. It's all about Christ.